Thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast. This is Lauren. I manage the Adulting is Easy blog and podcast, which can be found at realadultingiseasy.com. You may have found us there, or you may have found us on Spotify or anywhere you can find podcasts, really. As usual, I am joined today by my sister, Jenny.
Hi, it's Jenny. I'm a high schooler at St. Pete High, and I am with my sister here to learn a little bit more about adulting.
Yes, it is my job as a 30-year-old to teach this teenager here how to conduct herself when she enters adulthood. So today we're going to make adulting easier for her and all of our listeners by explaining a personal finance topic. Much of adulting revolves around personal finance. However, we're not really taught much about that in school, so we're trying to fill those gaps a little bit today. So I'm going to tell Jenny about the eight alternatives to an emergency fund. Dude, I think this is our third podcast in a row that has an eight in it.
Oh, seriously? I was about to be like, start the countdown. That's like how all of our podcasts are.
I know. I don't know why I always think of eight things when I'm writing these, but here we are. So, Jenny, we've talked about emergency funds a bit before. Do you remember how many months worth of expenses you should have saved in an emergency fund?
I'll say maybe half a year.
Yeah, so that would be accurate. Yeah. So most financial experts say everyone should have enough money to cover 3 to 6 months of living expenses. So I typically think that 3 months is enough if you have some net worth that you can fall back on. However, my research has told me that you should err on the side of 6 months if you have kids, if you're a single income family, if you're in a risky industry, or this is something that I thought was interesting when I was learning about this. If you and your spouse work for the same company or are in the same industry, you should have a bigger emergency fund than those that do not.
Because if something bad happens, it could affect both of you right. And your work.
Okay. Right. Whereas people that are in different industries, probably one of them is still going to have their job.
Right. Okay.
Right. But in the case of like mom and dad, they should have had a pretty good emergency fund since...
mom doesn't work.
Right. Okay. Outside the home. She works very hard in the home.
Yes, that is very true. I give her the credit.
Yeah, she deserves it. She raised us and did a great job, as you can tell. Before we get started here, let me be very clear. There really is no alternative to an emergency fund. You really should have liquid money. However, some people that I know do not like to see very much cash sitting around idle. So I've made a list of, you know, a bunch of ways that you can tap into your net worth in the case of an emergency and a couple of loans you can take if you need to. So let's jump right in. Number one, you can take out a home equity loan or home equity line of credit, also referred to as a HELOC. That's H-E-L-O-C, home equity line of credit. So homeowners can borrow some of the equity in their home in the form of a home equity loan, usually up to 80% of the home's value. So if there's an outstanding mortgage balance, you would subtract that from 80% of the value of your home. So let's do an example here. Let's say your home is worth $350,000. That's about what this house is worth. Let's say you owe $150,000 on it. We owe more than that. But let's pretend we only owed $150,000 on it. You would be permitted to borrow up to $280,000 because that's 80% of $350,000. You subtract your mortgage, so you could take a home loan out for $130,000. So the homeowner in this case gets this money all at once and then pays it back over time, usually at a fixed interest rate.
So is that generally how mortgages work? Is it usually 80%?
Yes.
Like, is that like the max about?
Well, so mortgages, your first mortgage, there are a few different ways you can do it. A conventional loan of 20% down is usually kind of the standard mortgage. Okay. You can put 10% down. You can put, I think, 5% down on a conventional mortgage. However, then you have to pay something called MIP, which I can't remember what it stands for. It's not the same. Well, no, you pay PMI. So you pay private mortgage insurance in the case of a conventional loan. So you can put less down. There's also something called an FHA loan where you put 3.5% down. And then you pay MIP, which I can't remember what that stands for right now, but it's the same kind of idea. You have to pay a little extra, which is insurance, in case you default, if you put down less than
20%. So you would have to pay this MIP on top of the PMI?
No, just on top of your regular payment. If it's a conventional loan, that's 5, 10, or 5 or 10%, anything under 20, that's a conventional loan, PMI.
Okay.
PMI, the difference between PMI and MIP, this is a little beyond the scope. PMI, when you get to 20%, when you eventually make enough payments that you own 20%, PMI goes away.
Okay.
MIP on an FHA loan does not go away. You pay that the whole time you will be paying on that loan.
Okay.
So for, in the case of this example, right, your home is worth $350, you owe $150 on it, right? That's $200,000 of equity that you have in the house.
Okay.
You still would keep your mortgage. You would just take another loan out. And what you can do with that loan is you could put new windows in the house. Windows are very expensive. Somebody we know just got a quote. Their windows were like $40,000.
What? Okay. For windows?
Yes. They have a lot of sliding doors. Okay. But anyways, roofs, very expensive, mm-hmm. right? Roofs. I mean, shingle roofs are, you know, I don't know, $10,000-$12,000, something like that. Tile roofs, like mom and dad's, $30,000, much more. They last longer though. So if you take out one of these loans and you put it into the house, you can still deduct the interest from your taxes like you can on your mortgage. If you take that money and you buy a car, a boat, whatever with it, you can no longer, since the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the changes that he made to the tax code, you can't deduct that mortgage, that interest anymore.
Okay.
So anyways, a lot of people, when you've had a house for, you know, a good amount of time, it's gone up in value, there's equity sitting there, right? So you can theoretically use that in the case of an emergency, right?
Okay.
Now, it takes a little bit of time to get approved for this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is one option. However, it can't be an emergency like today. It could be like in the next 2 months, my roof's leaking, I need to put a new roof on it.
Okay.
Right?
So not like boats or cars, but like something else.
Well, yes. Yeah. So that this is two separate conversations, but they're good. I like that we're having this. What we're talking about today is something that you can use for an emergency if you need to. People also do use home equity loans and HELOCs for other things like that. Boats, vacations, probably funding kids' college education, you know, whatever. You can really use it for whatever you want. So a home equity loan is often confused with a home equity line of credit. So they are a little bit different. With a HELOC, the homeowner would be permitted to borrow the same amount as the above example, but they don't have to borrow the entire amount. So when you take a home equity loan, you get that money. In our example, you get that $130,000 and then you start making payments on it that include principal and interest. In the case of a home equity line of credit, that money kind of sits there in an account for you and you only pay interest on whatever you use out of it.
Okay.
So, and only if you use it. So actually, mom and dad, just after the crash, they took out a home equity line of credit and put the money in the stock market.
Oh, nice.
Right? But they didn't have to do that, but they did because they could earn more on that than they did. So,
yeah.
Kind of risky, but worked out for them. Let's see. Pay interest on the amount. Okay. So, the biggest risk to foregoing an emergency fund and then falling back on this, like I said, is that it takes time to get these things approved. You know, they're going to look at your credit, etc. Something else is, right? So, if there's an emergency situation and you don't have enough money to handle that emergency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you take out a home equity loan or a HELOC and then you can't, and then you have another emergency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't pay the loan or the HELOC back. You lose your house.
Because
your house
the bank
is the,
takes it?
Yeah, your house is the collateral for it.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So that's, it's really, like I said, these are all potential alternatives to emergency funds. However, nothing really beats having the cash in your account to be able to do something.
Because your house is thrown in the mix. Suddenly it's like a target. So
yeah, exactly. You don't want to lose your shelter. But it is an option, technically. So number two is to take your principal out of a Roth IRA. So Jenny, we've talked about Roth IRAs ad nauseum at this point. It's an individual retirement account that is funded with after-tax dollars. So you get paid, the taxes come out, money goes into your account, then you take that money basically and you put it into a Roth IRA. The invested funds, what you put in, grows throughout all of your working years. And then you can take the money out after you're 59 and a half with no penalties and no taxes. It's beautiful.
Is that like the average, like, retirement age or something? I'm just curious, because that's, like, a really
It's young. That would be younger than the average retirement age.
Okay, that makes sense.
That would be, people would be retiring early, right? Even, you know, dad just turned 60. And, you know, most people work at least till 65.
Right.
That's when, actually 62, I think you can start collecting Social Security. 65 is when you go on government health care. So a lot of people work until then if they get their health insurance through work. So mom and dad, if dad retires before that, they'll have to figure out, they'll have to pay for health insurance for them and for you. So if you wanted to, though, if you needed money before you're 59 and a half, because you've already paid taxes on the money you put in the Roth IRA, you can take that money back out without a penalty. Not any interest that you've earned, but the money that you put in.
What happens with that? Why?
Then you pay a penalty. So
sneaky.
Yeah, but I mean, you can put, it depends on the year. Every year it goes up a little bit, but like 6,000-ish. Into a Roth IRA. So if you've been doing that for a while and in 10 years you need some money, there should be a good chunk of money that you can take out of there.
Okay.
There's a caveat here as well. We need to note that decreasing the value of your retirement is not a good idea, right? You put that money into your retirement so you could have it in retirement.
Right.
If you take the money out for an emergency,
you're not going to have emergency money.
You're not going to have retirement money.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to work. Right. You're literally going to have to work longer. Also something to note, this is not a loan. It's you taking the principal back out. I said that because you can borrow from your 401k. And that is number 3 on our list of 8. So most 401k plans allow you to borrow up to $50,000 or 50% of the value in your 401k. So if you have $60,000 in your 401k, how many could you borrow? How much could you borrow out of that?
$30,000.
Right. Exactly. If you have $100,000, what can you do?
50.
If you have $120,000, what can you do?
Stop. 60.
No. 50.
Ah. Wait, what?
Up to 50 or 50%.
Oh, you got me so good.
Got you
okay.
So good.
Okay.
So those are typically the rules for most 401ks. And then you're required to pay back that loan within 5 years. You have to pay yourself back in quarterly payments. And those payments also include interest. This interest is going to be less than credit cards or personal loans or most other loans that you would have. I think they're usually around 7% or so. But you're basically paying your own retirement account interest. So, again, it is not ideal to deplete the value of your retirement. However, it may be a better option than borrowing from elsewhere and paying a high interest rate to somebody else.
Yeah.
So, still recommend having liquid cash, however, and borrowing from a 401k. I mean, if you're going to pay interest, it might as well be to yourself.
Sounds better than making your retirement account or your house like collateral damage.
I know.
So.
It's true. You will put the money back in there. However, when you're making those payments, you're probably not contributing to your 401k.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're,
okay.
Well, you're
that
you
makes
know.
Sense.
So either way, whether you take from the principal from the Roth IRA or whether you borrow from your own 401k, you're probably not putting any money into retirement during those times, right? So not only are you taking money out, you're not putting money in. So it's kind of a double whammy. All right. So number 4, you could borrow from a whole life insurance policy. So I just wrote a guest blog on this for another site. There's different kinds of life insurance. The two kind of main ones are term life and whole life. Term is, you pay $40 a month, and if you die in the next 20 years, you get $1 million.
What?
Right? That's like term life.
You get $1 million?
Right, or whatever. You could be 20. Okay. You could pay $20 a month and get 500.
Okay.
You could pay $10 a month and get 100. Whatever it is.
Got it.
If you die within 20 years. If you do not die within those 20 years, you get nothing. And all of your, everything you paid is gone.
That's not fair.
It is. It is. Let me tell you. There's another example. A whole life insurance policy pays out a death benefit, right? Like that $1 million, if the insured dies. However, that happens whenever the insured dies, even if it's after 20 years. They could be 100 years old and die, and this will pay out.
So why is the former thing that you just talked about, like, even an option?
It's not.
If it's only within 20
No,
years.
It's not for an emergency fund. I'm just telling you, there's two different kinds. There's basically two different kinds of insurance. The term is not an option for emergency fund. A whole life insurance policy is. I'm just trying to tell you kind of how they differ.
Okay.
So the whole life insurance is a permanent policy, so there's no expiration. You pay level premiums over time. They're going to be higher than what they are for term life because you're going to get that money back no matter what. Cause
yeah, that makes sense.
You're going to die. So hate to break it to you. So a portion of each premium, that's the amount that you're paying every year. Say it's $2,000 or something. A portion of that goes towards that death benefit, kind of like a term policy. And a portion of it basically becomes a savings portion. And that's called the cash value of the policy. And that cash value earns interest over time. So the owner of the policy, who may or may not be the insured person, often is though, can borrow money from the cash value, that little savings portion, without going through any sort of loan approval process. Remember we talked about HELOCs, home equity loans. You're going to go through a loan approval process. They're going to run your credit and all of that. You don't have to do that to borrow from your own life insurance policy. Okay? Your own whole life insurance policy, because you basically saved that money. The really interesting part about this loan is that it technically never has to be paid back. Okay? There's interest. So you take the balance and then it charges you interest. However, when the insured dies, the insurance company just pays out the benefit less what they owe. So they less the balance and less the accrued interest.
Okay.
So kind of interesting. Whole life insurance, they're really good investment. They're decent investment vehicles for people with high net worth because it's a lot of, there's tax benefits and things like that. Yeah. And then when you die, your family gets it.
Makes sense.
Okay. So 1 through 4 so far have been alternatives to an emergency fund that basically allow you to draw on net worth you already have. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's retirement that you already have, equity in your house that is already yours, or a whole life insurance policy that is already yours that you've been paying into. 5 is not like that. It's take out a personal loan. So another option is this, where the borrower receives a lump sum payment and pays that balance off over time. Like we were talking about the home equity loan, you get that balance, you pay it off over time. In this case, the collateral is not your house. It's a personal loan. Also, the interest rate I found, it could be as reasonable as 5% or as high as 36%.
Oh my God.
Ouch. So in this case, the lender's going to pull the borrower's credit. The loan appears on the credit report, and there can also be origination fees and things like that.
That's a crazy, crazy large margin. Like,
I know. It's huge. So that's an option for you. As you can see, maybe borrowing from your own retirement or something like that would be a better option than probably taking out a personal loan. Definitely a better option than taking out a personal loan and paying 36%. 6, you can use a credit card. This is another example of you're not falling back on any net worth that you have. This is credit and you will pay interest out the butt. So
Oof. Some
people think this way. I won't mention who, my husband, thought this way when I met him. They think that their credit card limits are their emergency fund, right? So let's say your credit card limit's $5,000, right? And you figure, mm-hmm. if something happens to me, I'll put on a credit card, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I have a $4,000 repair on a car, maybe that's a BMW or something expensive, right? But I'll put on a credit card. So most Americans do not actually have enough cash to fund a large unexpected expense. So most people don't have $400 in their account. Most people definitely don't have $1,000 in their account. So if a repair bill arises, it's like $1,000. They'll use their credit card to pay it as long as they have that much available credit. So that's fine if you're going to pay it back relatively quickly. However, if you start carrying that balance,
you have to pay interest.
You're paying interest. Then you have another emergency. And then what happens?
You can't do it.
You can't do it. Nothing good. So interest accumulates very quickly on credit cards because of the high interest rates. I think we talked about the average interest rate on credit cards on one of our podcasts. I think we said it's 15%. I think that was from Credit Karma. So it can be pretty damaging. So it's really not a good substitute for an emergency fund. So moving on here to 7.
Ooh, I have an account like this.
You have a CD?
Yeah.
So this is also falling back on net worth, mm-hmm. right? Because that's your money.
Yeah.
So CDs are a way to get more interest for deposited funds than a traditional savings account. Even in a high yield savings account right now, I think you'll get like 1.4% on a CD. You're maybe getting 2,
yeah. right? Yeah. All I know about this is like I have a very high like interest rate. Like I'm making a lot more than right. like an average, like the average interest rate.
Yeah, the average interest rate, God, I don't know what it is.
Half a percent. Oh,
no, less than that. For sure, less than that. Like, one year, like, I don't know, say you keep, like, $10,000 in your bank account, like, you might get, like, 4 cents. Like, it's...
Wow.
Maybe it's, like, 10 cents, but it's very low.
But at least you can, like, get to that money.
Yeah.
Because in CDs, you can't.
Well, aha! I'm here to tell you can. Oh. So, financial institutions offer a higher interest rate on CDs in exchange for the depositor, that's you, agreeing to leave the money there for a specified period of time, like 6, 12, or 18 months. So, if you were to need access to your money, Jenny, in an emergency, you could do that, but you'll be charged with an early withdrawal penalty, and it's basically just going to take some interest back from you that you've already earned to take your money out.
So, it's not technically taking out my money. But I'm still losing money.
Right. You would take your money out. You're not going to loot. You're not going to come away with less than you put in there.
Okay. That makes sense.
But not as much as you would if you left it.
Yeah.
So that's an option. You could put your emergency fund in a CD and just take the penalty if you have to. My emergency fund is in a high yield savings account because we're always like, you know, we want to have access to it. And then when we get a certain amount above our emergency fund, we'll try to buy a rental property or something. And we want to have access to it. So
what's your percentage? Just
I think it's 1.4.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. On your CD, you're probably getting 2.
Okay. Because you have access to it, like, regularly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can have it. I think it takes 3 days. Unless I do a wire, then it could be that day. All right. And lastly, number 8, you could sell stocks and bonds. You could, for that matter, sell real estate if you have it, right? So if you were so inclined, instead of keeping money liquid in a savings account as an emergency fund, you could put money in the stocks, bonds, real estate, whatever. So a risk with this option is that the investor puts money in the market, whether it be bond market, stock market, real estate market, and then the market collapses. And then you have an emergency and you need the money. So, for example, let's say that you do your calculation, 6 months of expenses, you need 50 grand for emergencies. And you put that in the stock market. And then the stock market drops 20%. And then you have an emergency, right? You only have 40 grand.
Right.
Makes sense. So that's kind of the reasoning behind keeping it liquid.
So, okay, this is a little bit on a tangent, but do you think, like, the stock market is, like, a good thing to invest in?
Yeah.
Given that it's like, what do you call it? Unpredictable.
Like, yeah, it's called volatility.
Because like the economy's like the highest it's ever been, right? Which means it's gonna like drop at some point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but there's something called dollar cost averaging, and what that means is like for 401ks or whatever, as long as you're investing all the time, right, regularly, you're gonna be investing on the way up. But then you'll invest when it's down and on the way up. And what it means is you're going to have a pretty good average return.
Oh, okay.
The stock market historically returns something like 6 or 8%
over time. Doesn't sound like a lot.
Well, it's a lot more in your CD, right? It's 3 times, okay, yeah, 3 or 4 true. Times, right? So that's the point.
Okay.
Real estate, if you do it right, will return more than that. But it's an active investment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for our duplex, you know, I got to be looking for checks in the mail and depositing it and writing checks to the property manager and, you know, allowing for repairs to happen or whatever when that happens. So stock's not like that,
right?
But it's riskier than your CD, right? So that's why. Normally, the riskier something is, the more interest rate you're going to have on it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, yep. So that's it. Those are 8 potential alternatives for an emergency fund. That's what I prepared for us today. Remember, managing money is a huge part of adulting. Saving is a huge part of managing money. And you need to save and have a plan for emergencies. So, Jen, it sounded like you learned a lot today.
Oh, yeah. It was a fun time. Is this the record? Almost, what, 25 minutes?
Yeah, this was probably the longest one. No, it was probably the longest one.
Awesome.
It's probably that glass of wine I just had. Let's see. So you can visit the Adulting is Easy blog, 8 alternatives to an emergency fund on realadultingiseasy.com. That was posted in January 2020.
You can follow us on Twitter at Adulting is Easy. We're also on Facebook. And you can email us at realadultingiseasy@gmail.com. You can also show your support at patreon.com/adultingiseasy.
Thanks everybody for listening as always, and we hope we make adulting a bit easier for you.
Woo.
Bye.